and welcome to the best of the Drew and Black Show. I don't know why I'm talking about talking like I'm in concussion protocol right now. Maybe it's because I'm wearing a collared shirt. Hey, before we start, I just noticed something. God, TMZ does great headlines. Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson, Lovebird Express keeps on rolling. Shows them making out. Aren't these people too in love?
Yeah.
Starting to piss you off a little bit?
She was just talking about how big his dick is.
Yeah, that was the latest thing, that discussion about, what was it?
Like, big dick energy.
She deleted
big
the
dick,
tweet.
Big dick energy, yes.
Do you have Who gives a fuck?
Do you have big dick energy, Drew?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm not sure what it is, though.
So I think it's a good thing. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
You're the one with the skinny dingling?
I couldn't tell. Why did she delete the tweet?
Why didn't she tweet it out to begin with?
And why are they just... Can't they just be in love privately? Does it not count?
No.
Their exes need to know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it promotes both of their shows, too. Big dick energy, though, not to extrapolate on that too far, but maybe that works better than Detroit energy.
Oh, DTE energy, yeah. I'd rather big dick energy than...
I bet it's on all the time.
Probably does.
It is.
You'd rather have BDE than DTE.
Yeah, I'm not clear on that.
No.
Anyway, for the best of, we are talking about Charlie Sheen, which is one of the... That was one of the early interviews. When was that exactly? Do you know?
2016, I want to say November-ish, October.
Is it that late in the year?
And it's two calls in one. It's the first one where he got really mad at us.
Yeah, because he thought we were at the gate trying to get an interview. But he was actually acting like, I can't do an interview. Oh, like we were going to get an interview if we did it another way, which was weird. And then when we explained that we weren't at the gate, I think he felt bad because he was such an asshole.
Yeah,
in his mind, I didn't think he was an asshole at all.
No, I'm not. No.
I mean, I'd be pissed if somebody's at my gate if I thought that. But yeah, and the interview was, that was really cool because he apologized for the stupid show he did on the Tiger Blood tour.
Was that the one that got the publicity then?
Yeah,
it was national attention.
It was all over the place. It was on TMZ, and it got attention locally because of the apology.
Yeah, so that's the other addition to it. So it's very heavy on Sheen, but it was cool listening back to it and hearing it from our perspective.
I think we need to call him back. He has a new girlfriend. He should be in a good mood again.
Brandon will be pumped to dial it up.
Absolutely,
just like he is with Andy Dick.
That reminds me, should we call Andy Dick right now? Create a new best of.
Vacated the room. He knew that was coming up, so he left.
He does have a stress issue, I think. I don't know if he's cut out for this.
He's beautifully neurotic, like I've always told him. He's great.
And then there's also calls about parking scoff laws, which we love it when the parking scoff law list comes up because people love talking about their multiple hundreds of parking tickets. And we did reach someone.
It's a civil service. It helps us fill the file.
Yeah, our public service file.
Public service file.
Now, is this the one where it's a woman who she parked outside of Wayne State or something like that all the time?
Zooves? I haven't edited this one yet.
I think there's one.
There's two versions of them. One we ran on a best of.
Someone fart at us? Is that the one?
that's the one? Yeah. Oh, okay. So heads
farts
up
at
for
us.
Being farted upon.
But it was, I thought it was like, is this guy a media person? Does he have American radio personality when you Google him? Because that was so, the timing was amazing. It was almost, the timing was almost as cool as the guy that said about Bruce Willis, is he pumping someone?
I guess he's pumping someone. Although that guy, I didn't like that guy because he backed down as soon as Farley said, what? He went, never mind. Come on, dude, double down.
I love
him. He said, I guess he's pumping someone.
I love him for getting into commentary on the drops. Oh, that was pretty cool. And then apparently there's some conversation about some illicit usage of mushrooms that may have occurred with someone on the show.
It's crazy.
I don't know.
It's a great story.
I think I know what that's all about.
It was all done legally.
It was.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, it was in a foreign country where these things happen with the country's blessing.
Very
Such
happy.
A thing can be said.
When are mushrooms going to be legalized in America?
Yeah, they're therapeutic. They already have proven that.
Yes, that's how we got on the conversation.
We could have pot in November.
Yeah. Big blow.
Really? Are they going to drag their feet once it's approved and say, well, we need a year and a half to set this up, get the infrastructure?
Probably.
Even though the infrastructure exists.
I know. All this shutdown of people the past year. What is going on? It just seems like complete foolishness. And you know, once people are invested in something like that, I think it's really horse bleep to suddenly start putting all these restrictions and, oh, I don't know what's going on, so you're shut down.
Yep.
And, oh, I've only invested my life in it the last 5 years.
Yeah. It'll happen.
Because it was a while. The dispensaries were going for how long when that happened?
Oh, boy. How many years?
Years.
A couple years.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is an intriguing story I think you'll enjoy on this week's Best Of, which runs how long? Well, we don't know.
I don't know.
No. It's just
ride
another
it out.
Best Of, and thanks for listening to the Best Of if you have a chance. If you don't, maybe you can come back and listen to it because we're getting many, many, many more downloads and listens since we started the Best Of program. And it seems, I don't know, people seem to be enjoying it, even though the Best Ofs are only 2 years and 1 month old at the oldest.
Well, plus you're getting bonus material like this.
Right.
Yes. Course. And maybe, who knows, we might start dropping some other stuff because I've had requests, you know, can you drop this in from the old days? And I don't know, maybe we'll see. Hmm. We're not ready to get in trouble yet.
Okay. Hmm.
I'm not sure anyone would really care, to be honest. And if it's on YouTube, why can't it be here?
Yeah.
True.
There aren't even any advertisers on the Best Of.
Or if we could get them, yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah, there's that. Anyway, enjoy the Best Of and, if you're going for the holiday, have a great holiday, and we will catch you on the Sunday Monday show.
See ya!
Did you see Charlie Sheen has gotten all of his child support significantly lowered?
Right, yeah.
He is truly in financial trouble. The guy that was making $2.5 million an episode on that TV
show, Two and a Half Men,
I mean, he was making for 22 episodes. He was hauling in over $50 million a year.
Yep.
For, that was, I think he was there 7 or 8 seasons.
Could have been there longer, too.
Sure. But, I mean, he made somewhere around $250 to $300 million in a very short time. Now, of course, you lose half of that to taxes, maybe a little more than half. But still, after taxes.
He's not really bankrupt, though. He probably has tons of assets.
No, here's the deal. He's been selling assets. He's been liquidating stuff. He has a pile of lawsuits, and he's basically answering these suits one by one. And apparently, a lot of them are stuff he just has to settle.
Ooh.
Because otherwise, there'll be expensive, litigious things. I mean, he'll spend literally the next 10 years in court.
What are these lawsuits over? Are they over... just claiming that he told people he didn't have HIV. Is it that stuff or is it other stuff?
People that he did not tell he had HIV
really?
When he had HIV.
Oh.
There's a number of those people.
Oh.
And apparently there's a number of people, too, that threatened, that blackmailed him and said...
Which he paid off forever.
Yeah, he paid out millions, apparently, to people who extorted him.
Huh.
And now... I guess these are lawsuits that have some merit. I don't know how much. I mean, some of the people he associates with, yeah, it's hard to say how much merit something like that would have. But then again, it sounds like he was having sex with people and not telling me he had AIDS.
It's interesting, though. He filed the paperwork back in March to reduce the child support payments, citing his income had dropped after selling his profit participation rights to 2.5 Men for $27 million. So was that $27 million?
A lot of money.
I mean, is that what did he have to pay off? That's what he paid everybody off with.
Well, I got the impression that he was raising cash so he could clean up his legal affairs.
Okay,
but
yeah,
but
he had $12 million in debt, most for mortgages, taxes, and legal fees.
I just have a hard time understanding how can this guy not have $100 million in the bank somewhere?
True, his monthly income is $167,000.
From what? Residuals?
$600,000. It was $600,000. Then he sold those rights, and now it's $167,000. I mean, he's still paying a shitload in child support.
He sold the rights for what?
Profit participation rights to 2.5 Men for $27 million.
Okay, makes $167,000 a month. Yep. So that's he still makes well over $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right around $2 million a year. But, you know, he has multiple mortgages.
His health cost per month is $25,000 too.
What?
His medical
$25,000.
Yeah.
For what?
Because he doesn't have for procedures not covered by health insurance. I don't know.
What are people with money doing? I mean, how are they treating AIDS, for Christ's sake? You need $25,000 a month to treat AIDS? $25,000, though. $25,000 a month?
Yeah, and that's also what he's paying Brooke Mueller and Denise Richards, $25,000 a month.
But he was paying them $110,000 a month.
Total, so 55 each.
Right.
So now he's paying 50 total.
Yeah.
But apparently, if they went to court, they
why does Denise Richards need $25,000 a month for two daughters? I mean, is that just bullshit?
Yeah. If they went to court, they'd probably only get $10,000 a month. So that's why they settled, because Sheen agreed to give them real estate.
it's
a little silly.
It just.
But hey, he had kids with him.
I just saw him. I just saw an interview with him where he was very testy and kind of short, and every now and then he'd sort of revert to the old Charlie Sheen, you know, the sense of humor.
Tiger Blood winning.
Not like that Charlie Sheen. Oh. Just the nice Charlie. He's a good guy. He's okay.
Should we call him?
Sure. Oh, we've got his number. That's right. Yeah, I'll never forget that when Charlie Sheen was doing his traveling circus, mm-hmm. his traveling show, and he came to Detroit for the first show, and we rightfully rejected it, booed him off the stage. We didn't really boo him off the stage. We could have booed him off the stage, but he didn't leave. And everyone ended up blaming it on Detroit.
Yeah.
That awful Detroit crowd. The show was terrible.
It was so stupid. There's Sheeners number.
When he was promoting the show, they kept telling us, yeah, he'll be available for an interview tomorrow. Yeah, he'll be available in an hour. Yeah, he'll be available in 2 hours. Yeah, and it was embarrassing. We were waiting at work till 3-4 o'clock for a couple of days. And then finally we just said, you know what? If he calls when we're here, fine. We're not going to anything ridiculous. We're not going to stay here till 7 o'clock every night waiting for, if this guy decides to put the crack pipe down to call us.
Well, then it was, he can do it at 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
remember that? And I'm like,
right.
They're not going to do
this. This is after he canceled 50 times. So are we going to come in at 10 o'clock he can cancel?
But I said, well, if he's up that late and if he's been staying up late because it was the Tiger Blood days, why can't he call at 5 a.m., which would be 2 a.m. his time? Because he was still in
LA. He can't do that.
Well, no, that's what they agreed to do. And, of course, he never answered when we called the phone.
Is this Charlie's number? Nope.
Sounded like
I thought I heard a faint hello. Charlie. Gabriel, it's Drew and Mark calling from our broadcast in Michigan for Charlie.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you tell me your name again?
Yeah, Drew and Mark from
Drew and Mark.
Yeah,
hold on.
Michigan. What's the chance?
After
he comes back, the same guy comes back.
Sorry if I offended you.
Is it Drew and Mark?
Yes.
Two people, right?
Yeah, we're calling from our podcast in Detroit, Michigan. It's like an internet radio show, and we've had Charlie on before, many times.
Okay. Huh? Okay.
Sam on the phone?
Okay.
Charlie!
Hold on,
can you put Charlie on for a sec?
Who in the fuck is this?
Charlie, it's Drew and Mark from Detroit.
Detroit
Radio?
Yeah, and what's your point?
We've had you on a bunch of times. We were just...
Okay, so wait, do we have a fucking appointment today?
No, we did not.
Okay. Hold on.
We try it once in a while.
We've talked to Gabriel before, and, if you weren't available, that's cool.
All right. Well, you know what? You know what, guys? I admire your passion. How about this? What do you guys either need, want, or desire from me?
I would love to talk to you for 10 minutes.
Can we do it tomorrow?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit. Now, what do you guys want? What do you want to know about? What do you want to ask me?
Well, you've popped up a lot recently. We saw the Colin Kaepernick thing today. TMZ posted that thing. I thought those comments were interesting.
We've been talking Lenny.
I didn't say shit about Kaepernick.
We've been talking to Lenny Dykstra a lot lately, too.
You know what? Lenny Dykstra is a fucking leaky diaper and a piece of shit, okay?
Whoa.
Yeah, no, he's a bad dude.
This is why we need to talk to you.
I'm not surprised you would feel that way, honestly.
No, he's a fucking asshole. And you know what? Like, whatever fucking money he makes off mentioning me, I got fucking, maybe it's two, maybe three words for him, Matthew 27. You know what I'm saying? And I... And guys, I'm a fucking atheist.
He complimented.
Why do I know that? He's a fucking Judas.
He complimented your baseball skills.
Well, so what? You can see that shit in Major League, you know.
Yeah.
I meant thank you. So we do the morning, like.
What time for you? Your time.
8:30.
8:30.
Sure.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Is that cool?
8:30?
Yeah, okay. Whatever works for you, man. We just okay. love to chat with you.
I didn't mean to be rude, gentlemen.
Charlie,
fucking, like,
totally fine.
Now, no one's above common courtesy, you know?
We're over it.
Oh.
It's all
like
good.
That. Okay. Tough guys. Awesome. Thank you. You're very kind. yeah, but let's keep it, like, cool and bitching and not give all these fucking assholes like their forum, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
No, we wouldn't talk about you, man. We're big fans, and
you're very kind.
No, you've been through a lot lately, and we were talking about you. And I remember when you came to Detroit. Let's see, how many years ago were you doing the shows?
That was a firestorm.
Ooh, boy.
Oh boy,
we loved
theater.
It. Yeah,
Fox Theater. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, Detroit got a bad rap for that, and I mean, we're all big fans here. I mean, seriously,
hey, guys, let's make a point tomorrow to apologize to Detroit.
Okay.
Seriously, it wasn't their fault. Let's focus on that.
You got it.
Let's do it. Let's talk awesome. Some baseball too.
Oh, bro. Yeah, I mean, my team's been out of it since Mother's Day. But whatever.
Do you still have your collection of memorabilia?
No, I got a couple things left. That's it, you know.
What did you save? What did you have to keep?
I'll tell you tomorrow.
All right,
okay.
Brother.
All right. I can't
I
wait.
I just want a bunch of fucking thieves, like, rolling up on my crib. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
We're so far away from there.
Yeah, we won't be rolling up. You don't have to worry about that.
And gentlemen, I didn't mean to be rude at first. I just fucking...
No, totally, like I said, totally understandable.
No, you guys are really, really fucking sweet, really fucking smart. So, Ocho y media, ¿sí? Mañana?
Sí.
Yeah, mañana.
Awesome.
Muy bien.
And I will call the gate and tell them so.
Okay. Wait, the gate?
The gate. Is that who? Is that where this number rained into?
We're just going to
call. Yeah, that's where you guys are stuck right now, yeah.
Oh.
Awesome.
I mean, we're just going to call on the telephone. You know.
Oh, shit, they guys are going to come here.
No, God,
no. We're in Michigan. Detroit.
Oh, fuck. I thought you were in L.A.
Oh,
no, we didn't just roll up. No. No, we're on the phone.
Shit. Yeah, even a deeper apology. I'm sorry. I was yelling at you like you were at the gate.
We're rude. We're not that rude, Charlie.
Wow, now I know why you thought we were such dicks.
No, you guys are, oh my God, I'm so sorry, man. It sucks.
Yeah, because it's funny. I thought, God, I thought Charlie would be a little cooler than this.
No,
but
guys,
you thought we were at your house.
I deepened my apology. I'm so sorry. I feel like a fucking asshole. Wow.
It's really funny how we think we really know you, but I really kind of do feel like I kind of know you.
No, but that's a huge compliment. So you guys aren't at the fucking gate right now.
No. Nope.
That's such good news. I feel like a super asshole, you know? Oh, fuck. Okay, cool.
Not at all, man. Everything's
This is really sweet.
It's all good.
Awesome. You'll be getting me right off the workout.
Cool.
Beautiful.
Right on.
All right,
thank
man.
You, gentlemen.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right, be well.
See you then.
Okay, cool.
Bye-bye. Oh my God.
Bye bye. did that really just happen?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Can you believe that? That was so funny. You know, I thought something was weird that roll up on me.
Yeah, yeah.
But
now it makes total sense now.
What's so funny is that he would even be talking to us if he thought we were at his front gate.
Well, but if he thought we were at the front gate, he could yell and freak us out and send us on our way.
No, but just roll. You think you'd tell a guy, tell me get the fuck out of here. You wouldn't think that he would come to the phone.
Yeah, but he's a take charge kind of guy.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I offended you. I didn't know you were so sensitive. Sorry if I offended you.
Hello?
Charlie.
Hey, how are you, man?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really good. Let me just go outside for a minute. Do you mind? Can you
Sure.
Hold on one second?
Yeah.
Cool. Hold on. Hello?
Hey, Charlie. Drew and Mark.
Sorry about that.
No problem, man.
No worries.
Hey, I was just looking at the 96 Tigers because we were looking at the story about you when you bought 2,600 tickets to a baseball game so you can improve your odds of catching a home run ball.
Right.
And it was a Tigers-Anaheim game, right? Or Tigers-Angels?
Yeah, I think it was like mid to late April.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it might have been, I don't think it was the 19th. Do you have a ticket stub from it? Or?
No. I just read the story, and I was trying to figure out, gee, whose home run ball were you trying to catch, or were you just trying to catch any home
run? I think it would have been Cecil's.
Yeah, Cecil. Oh, okay. Cecil was on the team the first half of that year, so yeah, okay.
But there was a couple other mashers.
Tony Clark hit 27 that year. Higginson at 26. Travis Fryman at 22.
Wow.
Could it have been?
Well, it was definitely the team to lean on for that to happen, right?
Yeah, yeah. Melvin Nieves at 24. Cecil hit 26 before he was traded.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of home
runs. Where was he traded that year?
Yankees.
Yep.
To the Yankees, of course, because then he won the series with them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did.
When they went down 0-2 to Atlanta.
That's right. And
Andrew Jones in game one as a 19-year-old hits two bombs.
How about that?
And amazing.
Leyritz hit that 3-run homer in game three to bring them back.
Gosh, off of Wohlers, no?
Yep. Yes.
Wow. Didn't Leyritz, wasn't he charged later on with vehicular manslaughter?
Yeah.
You got it.
Oh, my God. Is he still alive? Is he okay?
Yeah, you know what's funny about that? He's actually, I believe he's out because his son plays in a minor league, independent minor league here in the Detroit area. Because Tom ran into him, so he's out and, I guess, doing well.
Man, we are going geek deep.
Oh. Yeah, I know. It's really cool. Check it out. That ball is kind of a routine fly ball in so many other parks. He didn't hit that at Turner, obviously. That was at the launching pad, right?
That's right.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie, we're trying to figure out your baseball career. Like, what? I know you got expelled your senior year.
I did, yeah. It was pretty heartbreaking.
But you had, it said Kansas offered you a scholarship?
Well, yeah, but it was it was conditional. It came with a few caveats. I had to this junior college called Pratt, which I think is right around the corner. And so if I went there on academic probation, then I could go on to the university. But, I mean, honestly, I'm so glad I, had the opportunities that I've had, because I would have been riding a bus for 10 years in, Madison, Wisconsin, you know?
Yeah. No, I just wonder what kind of stats you put up in high school. Did you pitch a lot, or were you a hitter, too?
I was a pitcher and a shortstop. The only thing that really garnered any attention was my arm.
Okay.
And I don't know where it came from. It just, I could throw downhill from shortstop with one foot on the grass.
Okay.
Just effortlessly, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you can't teach a great arm.
No.
You just show up with it, you know?
Absolutely.
But these days, a couple surgeries and couple other things. I don't quite have that nice four seam backspin. You know.
Hey, how are you feeling these days, Charlie? Your health's good, isn't it?
I feel really good. Yeah, I feel really good. excuse me. No, I started working out with a trainer, and I'm just doing all the right things. And as far as the HIV stuff, I mean, this is really cool. I'm in a God, sorry, can you guys hear that saw next door?
Not really.
No, we're okay.
Okay, it sounds like he's building the...
Oh, there it is.
Oh, there, I hear now.
Yeah.
No worries.
Like he's building a shark cage. What the hell's going on? Or disassembling one. No, but I'm part of an FDA study right now. I'm actually volunteered to be part of this group. Company is called Cytodyne, and the drug is called Pro 140. And instead of taking that cocktail every day, right... it's one shot every week.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's no side effects.
Is that cocktail, is it debilitating?
It is, it is. It causes tremendous stomach distress. I mean, that's, you have to wear black underwear. You just have to. but I think you should wear black underwear anyway, after 40 anyway, you know what I mean?
You never know.
yeah, and migraines with that other medicine and... at times, dementia, you know?
Ooh, wow.
Not full-blown, but just borderline. You just can't focus on stuff. And
it's really expensive, isn't it?
It's not cheap, yeah. Yeah, and so, plus you add the whole other stressful aspect of it with not being able to tell anybody, you know?
Yeah.
Or not just keeping this big secret. And so, yeah, that was really...
That must
have been a lot of work.
That must have been a huge relief, though, when you finally did the Lauer thing, right, in a way?
It really was. Yeah, I actually kind of floated out of there, you know?
And in the meantime, when all that was going on, it sounded like people were just, you know, coming down on you, threatening you. I mean, it sounded like you were going through a hellacious ordeal.
It was pretty horrifying. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But you know, I mean, here's the absolute bottom line truth: is nobody's infected. Nobody was misled. No felonies were committed. These were just opportunistic douchebags that don't understand the concept of. You know, getting a job and an honest day's work. You know, they mm-hmm. just I was raised differently. I don't believe in any other way to make a living than hard work and
of
you
course.
Know a little bit of luck here and there, but whatever. But no, I really really tested my faith in, I hate to say this, but just in people overall. You know.
Oh my God.
But you know what? It's like to quote. You know, Bret Michaels, every rose has its thorn, you know? So, and Bret's an old buddy of mine. What a nice man.
He really is.
Another sports fan.
Yeah.
In the Hollywood
Big Pittsburgh
rock
guy.
World.
In fact, he and I were in Pittsburgh, I think it was 96. I could be wrong. When San Diego went in there and beat them.
Oh, wow.
When the Chargers went into, it wasn't Heinz Field, it was.
With Stan Humphries?
Yeah. Head of men.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Bobby Ross.
Yeah, Stan,
team, right?
Stan was QB. Yeah, Bobby Ross was
Junior Seau breaks up the last play of the game in the end zone to preserve the victory.
Wow.
It was amazing, and Brett was just, he was crying.
No kidding.
He was a grown man crying, yeah.
Well, he's had
just so I don't forget, so they're talking about this amazing new medicine getting approval by January or February. And it is no joke a game changer.
The Pro 140?
Pro 140, yeah. Yeah.
And is it going to be affordable?
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. I don't have the exact price point, but I just, I mean, after what I went through with that Dr. Sam down in Mexico.
With the black underwear?
With the black, yeah. Yeah. It's so nice to have gone from, you know, taking the road to perdition back to Providence, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really good news, not just for me, but for everybody that suffers from it, you know?
You know, the scary thing, too, with, you know, what you were going through, anybody that knows or suspects or hears a rumor becomes a threat to you. And is that, were people like that trying to shake you down?
Oh, yeah, no, I had to do a lot of secret deals and pay people off. And
oh, my God.
I know, one girl, like, bought a house. I'm like, damn. And I didn't get invited to the housewarming party. You know? Talk about a party foul, right?
Yeah, you should be able
Jeez.
To go over there whenever you want.
So,
Thank you. In other words...
Gate code?
In other words, she'll go to the media if you don't do this.
Exactly, yeah.
And you were so afraid of the knowledge that you actually you dealt with these people.
I had to, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. It was... You'll have to bleep this, but it was shit sitting.
Oh, we don't have to bleep. We're on a podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, it was la ciudad de caca. Yeah.
Now, does stuff like that get around? Like, would she be under the table telling another woman that? Like, oh, wow, I'm extorting this guy. I mean, would she do that?
Oh, yeah, and that's why we, you know, it started to get back to me from different sources. And so... you know, you make deals where that's prohibitive, you know?
Ugh.
It just goes from sticky to icky, you know?
Did you have any counsel that you trusted, that you were able to privately, you know, discuss this with?
You mean like a lawyer or like a therapist?
Well, or a friend, I mean.
Yeah, no, my oldest and dearest friends, like the gentleman you just spoke to, Tony Todd, they were, you know, beyond supportive. And, yeah, no, my crew these days is really, my circle is really, really, really small, you know?
That sounds good, actually.
And that's okay. We don't shun people, but we don't, let them into the deepest parts.
Well, how?
Right off the, you know, right from Jump Street, right?
I have to imagine that circle was massively huge in 2011.
It was pretty large, yeah. It was, yeah. Now, did we talk years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. And you guys have to be impressed a little bit by the fact that my number hasn't changed.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really
blown
funny.
Away.
Yes. Now, let me just say this so I don't forget that this is important. I apologize for my behavior yesterday. I was not pleasant.
Oh,
I thought
okay.
you guys no, were at the I thought you guys were at the gate and I thought you were somebody else.
Oh.
I was totally confused.
Well, we knew you thought we figured out that you thought we were at the gate, which is
when I found that out, I was ass. I apologize.
For being a grump.
I couldn't believe you were that you were even as nice as you were to even talk to us if you thought we were at the gate. I would think you'd have said, "Well, get the fuck out of here. Who the fuck are you?" I don't think you'd even come to the phone.
No, of course. But then I sort of put it together this morning. I thought, oh, these are the gentlemen I spoke to right before Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I also owe the entire city an apology.
Never.
Seriously, man.
Never. That was a great show.
Well,
for all the wrong reasons.
It was a mess.
Oh, yeah, that's why we liked it.
Thank you. Thank you. But, you know,
a hot mess.
Hemingway once wrote that that to be a man, you have to have a son plant a tree and fight a bull, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He left off getting booed off the stage in Detroit. He left that part off. Yeah.
Yeah.
From where we
no,
were.
No, but it was, you know, I don't want to say it was a witch hunt, but if it was, you know, that's not on the fans, you know?
No.
And plus the show started way too late.
Yeah.
And it should have just, I started doing... Once I got to Chicago, just me sitting down with a moderator and just answering questions and having a fun interview and just talking about, you just telling the stories instead of all this, you know, all these smoke and mirrors, you know?
Well, that's what you do best. I mean, you're a pretty personable guy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And what was going on with you at that time, you know, the whole Tiger Blood and winning? I mean, it's like every time we saw you or heard an interview with you, it was like, I couldn't wait to listen. You were so funny. You were just pulling these lines out of your ass. And I'm like, what's going on with Charlie?
It's insane.
It was like, I mean, something was going on with you. Either maybe you were coming into some really good health or I couldn't figure it out. I mean, there's something so alive about you.
It was a trip. It was a combination of a couple of things. Doing 2.5 for that long and not having any real creative freedom. I think I finally kind of like just tore through this membrane of this stuff. I felt suffocated for a long time. Now I'm proud of the show. I'm grateful for the opportunity and people come up in the street and I'm thrilled that I was to this day can still give them some enjoyment, you know, just, you know, if they're having problems or whatever, they can forget them for 22 minutes, you know? So that I'm really grateful for. So I think it was a combination of finally, you know, being able to write my own script and finally also, cause you're kind of working for the man,
mm-hmm.
in a network scenario, you know?
Sure.
And I don't jive well working for the man, you know?
Yeah. No, you seem very, you were angry. It seemed like everyone associated with the show, you were just very angry.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. And it was displaced, you know? But I wasn't on dope. I wasn't on booze. I was doing a lot of testosterone, you know?
Oh, wow.
Which if you do too much, I think metabolizes as some type of a steroid. So it, essentially, you can look at the whole thing and just a roid rage meltdown, you know?
Okay, so you just had a lot of testosterone swagger.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
Tiger Blood.
And I don't want to reveal this gentleman right now. At some point I think I might have to. Here's the crazy thing. Here's what no one knows. The night before, okay, Tony and I are watching Baseball Tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a pitcher who, in one specific highlight, climbs a ladder on a hitter, like bang, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge fan of the guy, and I tell Tony, I say, get him on the phone tomorrow. I want to talk to this genius, right? So, you know, Tony, resourceful, he gets him on the phone the next day. And I'm not kidding. This gentleman says, "Well, you know, Charlie, we're not like other people. We have tiger blood and Adonis DNA." I'm like, "Well, that's cool." He's like, "Because you know, even in our worst moments, we're still winning." I'm like, well, that's cool, right?
Yeah.
So the next day, I do this big interview with Andrea. What's her name?
Andrea from Joyce? ABC. No,
Canning. No.
Yeah, Andrea Canning. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And her husband's a fighter pilot, and I've been hanging out with fighter pilots, and it was just I thought it would all be cool, you know. And I felt bad for her because I don't think she understood the grandiosity and the insanity of the moment that she was suddenly wrapped into, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, she was sort of hijacked into.
Yes.
And I just felt like she could have had more fun with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was coming off of this brilliant explanation. Somebody finally deciphered my life. And put it in very bizarre words that I just said, okay, well, here's how I feel. And that's so what blows my mind is the stuff that, you know, I became a slogan factory, a t-shirt magnet, as it were, right? and it wasn't even my material.
You should have come out with a line of cards, you know, Valentine's card, not Valentine's cards, but just sort of swagger cards or something.
There you go. Yeah.
I want to know how much testosterone you were taking because I want that testosterone swagger, man.
Bro, it wasn't even the shot; it was the cream. And when you
the cream.
Yeah, when they say do a dollop, like the size of a quarter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of I thought they meant the size of your hand. But I think that's really what was going on. And that's why a guy that I hated that I've actually become a fan of, I think is a freaking genius, is Dr. Drew, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's really smart and he's actually really funny and I love listening to him break stuff down because he's just never wrong. So his whole thing about me being bipolar wasn't completely accurate, but his prognosis of that bipolar behavior was completely accurate, and that was a direct result of the stuff I was doing, you know.
But immediately, you know, people scoff and are saying, "Oh, he's back on cocaine because he had an incident a couple months prior, or he's smoking weed, or he's doing
right,
meth."
Right, right.
But yeah. none of that.
No, in fact, I did a blood test or a urine test live to prove up otherwise, you know.
Live. No, you seem so sharp. I didn't think you were on anything bad because you just seemed really sharp mentally.
Thank you. But you know what's bizarre, man? It's like looking back on it. It's, some of it's hard to watch. Some of it's a little bit cringeable.
What makes you cringe? Which part makes you cringe?
The hair.
The stuff that makes me cringe is like the stuff I kind of did on my own where I do a little video on the phone to somebody and then I would like send it to Bob and he'd put it out. And that's the stuff that just that was just fanning the flames, you know?
Yeah. When your hair was all crazy.
There was that. There was that thing. Yeah.
But it worked.
It did work.
Thank you.
I mean, people were dying to see you. That tour, people sold out all those joints, didn't they?
Well, but we had vendors and sponsors and everything literally after Detroit, like canceling, right?
Oh yeah,
and I'm walking around backstage smiling. I'm like, this is a train wreck. Why are you smiling? I said because now there's a challenge.
Hmm.
Now there's a challenge, and we took this bus ride to Chicago that was like 9 hours, and I stayed up the whole time and completely revamped the show. And just simplified it, you know?
That had to be some kind of pressure.
You know, you mentioned go ahead.
No. Oh, but what really sucked and was unfair was the F Detroit chance that followed about the next 10 cities, you know?
Yeah, we're
and
used
it was
to
not
it.
Not Detroit's fault. Detroit's been through enough. You know? They didn't need a beat down from me.
Agreed.
That was completely wrong. But I would welcome I'd be honored to just have a return we'll just call it the warm hugs visit, you know.
you can throw out the first pitch or something. Have you been back to the city since then for any reason whatsoever?
No, I've yearned to.
Yeah.
You know, but I think this is a really good first step, and it's sort of this kind of a cosmic collision course with you guys just calling out of the blue, you know. Now, were you guys calling about the photo?
The photo?
The Twitter photo with me, my blood all over my face and that whole thing?
No, oh, no, but we saw that.
We did see that.
Yeah.
See, there's a gal that I work with social media, because I'm not really, I'm not as active anymore with it, you know, but people can tell when I've written something and when I haven't, duh, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this terrific, really smart gal named Lauren, she, I'll send her a bunch of photos with funny captions, like, you know, like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so she'll put stuff out, and she bases it on the climate of whatever's going on, you know?
Sure.
The temperature of the moment. And so if you read what I wrote, operating heavy machinery on Robitussin, right? I just figured everybody would know it was a joke. And then TMZ's calling my doctor, and is he okay, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, relax. That's actually from the set of a movie I did a few months ago.
Oh, okay. 9/11?
It's from, yes, yeah. And there's something that happens in the film that leads to that injury. So, I was actually with my makeup artist, Gabe, when all this stuff went down, and he was really flattered.
How is that movie, by the way?
Yeah, if I can be so bold, it's actually really good.
Oh, okay.
It's really good. It's claustrophobic. It's hard to watch. It's painful. It's a composite of several true stories on the day in the North Tower about people stuck in an elevator. And it's really, and it takes place in the actual amount of time that the events went down.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
and
so
because
real time.
We're the only people essentially on the planet that don't know what's going on.
Right.
So our eyes and ears is Whoopi Goldberg. She's the Port Authority elevator control room person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's given us the events over the intercom on the elevator as they're unfolding.
Charlie, you want to hear something like just bizarre and odd?
Please, always.
We were on the air that morning. We were supposed to interview Whoopi Goldberg that morning, and of course,
seriously,
obviously, it was canceled. I swear to God, yeah.
That's just bizarre.
They actually called to cancel the interview. Like, I think we understand.
Wow! Wow! And she's our gal in the movie. What a trip!
Yeah,
she's terrific, by the way.
Oh yeah, she's great.
And she's great in the movie. Now I saw it just in a rough cut, without the effects or anything. But the director now tells me that as the effects come in, and it's wow, we are in the elevator shaft in the North Tower. Yeah, it's
like it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it's like it's the story starting to tell itself visually, which is really cool.
No,
this is not about conspiracies, not about any of that stuff. It's about the people. It's about the heroes.
Yeah,
you know, all those that the fallen heroes and the survivors, and we're honoring them.
Well, naturally, when you say Charlie Sheen and 9/11, people do think of the truther movement, for a lack of.
Of course, yeah. But this has nothing to do with that.
However you believe it happened, there still were the heroes did the same work.
Of course they did.
People still died.
Yeah. Wow. Talk about a moment in time, right?
Yeah. Charlie, are you trying to do? Do you want to get back to doing three, four movies a year, or?
I would love to. I would love to. I think the only television I would really look at right now would be like an ensemble cable drama. You know, something really. Really intense. I love this show, The Night Of. You know.
Oh.
Something like that. Now, wait, I haven't seen the final episode yet.
I don't know anything.
I'm kind of saving it, you know?
Have you worked with Turturro? Am I just missing something obvious?
No, I met him once in New York with Nick Cassavetes about 20 years ago, and he couldn't have been cooler.
He is so damn good in that.
God, he's a genius.
His feet make me want to throw up, though. The eczema?
I know, but it was such a cool moment. When he was able to put those shoes on, you know?
Yeah, I know. It was. That was a great scene. But the whole time I'm watching him, I just am convinced now that Turturro has eczema on his feet. Like, it wasn't even acting. It was that good.
I know. And that whole, when he, with the security guard at the metal detector at the courthouse.
Yes.
And he finally just stops making him take his shoes off. It's like, all right, buddy, you're fine.
Yeah, great show.
No, it was really, really, but something like that, I would jump at the chance to do. I'm actually starting a movie in in about 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty freaking funny. It's called Mad Families, and it's written and directed by a guy named Fred Wolf, and he wrote...
Fred Wolf. I know Fred. I know
who
he
you
is.
Do?
Yeah, he's a comedy writer. Didn't he write for SNL for years?
For 10 years, yeah. But he also wrote the Grown Ups movies.
Yeah, I know who Fred
and
Wolf is.
And he directed a terrific comedy called House Bunny.
Joe Dirt? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Now, was that Anna's butt in House Bunny, or that was a double?
Anna Faris?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with hers just because it makes me feel better.
Just because it has to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just for the goodness of everything, it has to be, yeah.
Yeah, even if her husband has ruined it.
I know, but, you know, I met that dude. What a gentleman, wow.
Yeah, Chris Pratt, great guy.
Couldn't have been nicer. I visited the set of Magnificent Seven.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I met the whole gang and Denzel. It was really cool. Well, I'm friends with the director Antoine Fuqua, who's a freaking genius. But check this out. Mad Families deals with a lot of stuff that's very topical and contemporary. It's a campsite on the 4th of July, and they accidentally book three families at the same time into the same campsite.
Oh.
And it's a Mexican-American family, African-American family, and a white family, right? And you can only imagine what's going to happen.
Sure.
It was written for Spade, but he's off doing something else. So,
so they
called me, and I'm like, sure.
You know, with 2016, you know, your schedule's pretty light. Is that about your situation personally, or were you not wanting to do that much in 2016?
No, I wanted to do, you know, whatever came around, but I don't know, people, they believe of so much of what they read, and they never even contact the source for the truth, which is me, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of folks that I, you know, don't think I'm insurable, don't think I'm going to show up, I'm like, come on, guys, I've been doing this 33 years, you know?
Right.
I got this, But I, you know, like Willem says in Platoon, he talks about the worm is turning, you know?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So I can feel that happening, and I'm excited, man. I have a great relationship with my kids these days, and Brooke and Denise are terrific, and, you know, it's like everything's going so well, I'm just waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to create it, you know?
How old are your kids now, Charlie?
Geez, 7 twice, 11, 12, 32, and then my granddaughter Luna's 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anybody play baseball in that bunch?
Max is actually really good.
Okay.
Yeah, he's one of my twins, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, and Bob's the scholar. Max is the athlete. It's a trip.
Wow. And you've been getting out a little bit. We saw you were at GNR recently.
Yeah, man, that was amazing. People are like, oh, you looked hammered. I'm like, dude, I had 2 drinks. Relax. So I'm supposed to go to a GNR concert, not have a couple drinks.
Yeah.
Of course.
We saw them here. They opened the show here. Great show.
It's amazing, right?
Opened the tour. Yeah. Well, you
know, didn't it feel like 86 all over again?
It did.
87.
It did, and it's funny because people. I'm actually, it's kind of similar to
except for not being late.
People are just expecting Axl to just mess up somehow, and then he performs a great show.
How? And he sounded amazing, didn't he?
Yeah, honestly, it's a shame that's, you know, the first thing is, wow, Axl sounded better than we thought he was going to.
I know.
But then Slash killed it like he always does.
There's nobody better, is there?
No, not right now. No.
No, there's Slash, then there's the rest of the guitar world.
I can't believe that Axl's doing the AC/DC thing, too. I mean, how fucking crazy is that?
When does that start?
Well, he's done shows with them, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he has how many he has left, to be honest, but
wow.
I mean, who better to fill in for AC/DC than him? It sounded crazy, but I guess it worked out fine.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, good for him, man. Good for him, because he went through a lot, you know?
Yeah, I never understood it, but it obviously was very painful for him.
Sure.
I read John Cryer's book, Charlie.
Yeah, anything good in there? I didn't read it.
Yeah, there's some really funny shit. The one thing that just cracked me up was he was talking about he's dating this girl, and and one day you come up to him on the set, and he's been with her for about 6 months or so. And
yeah. Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah.
Her name was Jazz.
Yeah, and he's like, he said you wanted to have a word with him, and you said, yeah, I just want you to know, I went out with her. I really grappled with whether or not I should tell you, but you know, I just couldn't go on like this with without you know you knowing about it. I had to say something, and then you went on to he asked you like what happened. You know, did you party with her? What happened? And you said, well, I asked her about a three way, and that she got really upset about it. So you know, future reference for you.
That's in the book. That's classic.
Yes,
that's great.
And
go, John. Well, here's the weird thing. I don't know if this is in the book, and John will be fine with me saying this. He's walking her up to my trailer. I think it's a Wednesday. We've just finished a network run through.
Oh, to introduce her to you?
Yes. Yeah. Oh. And she's in front of him, so he can't see her face or her hand gestures, right? So she does the old classic wave off, wave off, wave off, right? And kind of gives me the lower chin, starry eye thing, you know? And because I recognize her immediately. She's smoking, right? And I always thought about her and missed her, and she comes walking up with John. And says, pretend like you don't know me in sign language, right? So it was really awkward and really, I mean, I'm a pretty good actor, but I'm a terrible liar, you know? And so it was like that. And that's why I chose to make the decision to tell him, hey, man, you have to know this. You have to know this, you know?
Yeah. No, she should have told him. That was crazy that she didn't tell him.
But, like, what's the big deal? It's not like he and I were best friends at the time and...
No, no.
You know, I hadn't seen him since Hot Shots, for God's sake.
But after you told him, he dumped her that night.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Oh.
For the dishonesty, I think.
Oh, got it. Because if she's going to lie about that, what else is, well, you know, what's next?
You got it.
Yeah. I mean,
that whole I love you thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also talked about how, you know, after everything had kind of cleared, the smoke had cleared as far as the show, and, you know, enough time had gone by that you had said, hey, John, you know, really sorry about that whole deal with, you know, when I was kind of out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he went through some things that he didn't have to go through, you know?
Yeah.
And he's such a terrific guy. Such a brilliant actor, you know?
It's funny, I liked him just from reading his book. I found that, you know, I think I like this guy. I mean, I could hear his voice as reading the book. I could hear his voice telling the story, and he just seems like a genuine guy.
So you never met John?
No, never.
You would love him. He's super smart, super funny, and just a total pro. Yeah, no, I miss that guy.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he was just Ducky forever. I just, you know.
Hey, I know. And talk about another moment in time. What would you guys think about this? And maybe we'll get like a thing going, you know, like a fan survey. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I'm not joking about this. What if we did 2.5 the movie? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it picks up where it left off with me in whatever the episode was, and then we kind of just tell the story. I believe how it should have been told. To it would put a nice bookend on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, what Ashton did and how difficult that was, I applaud and commend, you know?
Yeah.
I did that with Michael J. Fox on Spin City.
Yep. Oh, that's right.
So I know what it's like to come in and replace somebody, you know?
Which they say never to do, but yeah.
I'm sorry?
They always say don't do that. You don't want to be the one to replace the guy.
Exactly. And so when I'll
be the second replacement.
Right. But I was a big douchebag in how I handled that, and you know, Ashton deserved a lot better, you know. Really nice guy. And I thought, you know, I saw some of the episodes recently with him in it, and he did it was great. I mean, you know, whatever, come on.
Were you mad they killed your character off?
I never saw it, so it doesn't exist in my mind. You know? Actually, no, I did see their pilot, their first show back. There was some brilliant stuff in there, but it should have ended with when John, when the urn is thrown up and all the ashes fill the air, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he sees naked dude outside the door, right?
Yes.
And it should have just said to be continued.
Now, another book that's out, and last night we mentioned it to you and you were not happy with it, the Lenny Dykstra book.
Oh, yeah, whatever. I didn't read it, never will. He's not, I mean, he's one of those people that we trusted in our inner circle, and... he just went bad on us, you know.
And is that when he pissed you off with the book?
No, there was a ton of other shit before that, and it was just
I figured.
And just not just never here to hang out, always looking for an angle or a deal or something, you know.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, it's funny because, you know, it sounded like at one point things were going so well for him, you know, and he was he was killing it with the stock tips and and he really was having this tremendous success. But in the end, you know, that all blew up. And then looking for an angle, you mean like you want something?
Money. Oh, yeah. I mean, is there anything in the book about the watch I gave him for his birthday?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I gave him a $75,000 Patek Philippe. It was a platinum automatic, and I found out it was his birthday. I had it upstairs. I just bought it. I'm like, here, man, you're having a rough life. Here, take this. Here's a little gesture, you know?
Wow.
He kept asking for the box and the papers, box and papers. I'm like,
oh, Christ.
Okay, I guess he wants to get it insured. The guy sold it the next day.
Oh, come on.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, I did, but that's not in the book, is it?
No.
No, of course not.
See there?
No.
You
no.
see there?
The box and the papers. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
I would never see, you know, he talks about money like it's nothing to him. You know, I dropped 50 grand here. I tipped this guy 10 grand there. But I just wondered, you know, he didn't make that much money.
He had so much debt at the end, too.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, no, yeah. you know what I thought was obnoxious in the book was that he printed a letter that he wrote you, which he never heard from you, supposedly, where he was trying to encourage you to go public. You know, like he was on the inside of this whole thing, and he had arranged, he made all these arrangements for you at one point to go into rehab, and you were going to go, and then you changed your mind, and then he wrote you this long letter, which he printed in the book, and then he never heard from you again. Poof. And
well,
I just thought, why would you save the letter, first of all, and put it in the book?
So it wasn't written completely for my benefit, you know? It was for his own gain and his own folly, and what happened, though, he's such a loose cannon that he had told so many people that I was probably going to do this. So it really turned up the heat. Now the rumor mill was in full force, you know, because of him going out there. So it was almost like, and I'm sure they were going to pay him for delivering me on this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't about the genuine nature or notion of coming to my aid or being a friend or helping me through this. It was all about capitalizing on it. So that's no different than the people that I was already dealing with,
right?
You know, in backdoor deals. You know what I mean?
No, he just made himself sound like a hero.
He's not.
Yeah.
There's nothing heroic about him. And you know, I don't trash people these days, but when a name comes up where maybe, you know, some other data should be revealed, then but I, you know, I wish him well. I good health and family and all that stuff, and I have no ill will, but I think it's important to maybe hear my side of it a little bit, you know.
Yeah
no, and much was made of this secret compartment in your house too. That became a big, everyone
what is that?
Read the,
what is the secret compartment?
It's a room that he had a code to, and you open it up, and that's there's all your memorabilia is in there, and that's where you hit out.
Yeah, to party by yourself.
Oh, okay, cool. I better rush back in there right now. I'll have to call Lenny for the code. Geez. No, it's a little room I built off my bedroom. It's kind of like a 40s speakeasy. It's really cool. It's a theater and a bar, and
it sounded cool.
It's like a little museum, and
I think you showed it off with Andrea Canning or one of those interviews back then. Yeah,
I did, or Oz or somebody. And there is a bookshelf that slides open. So, you know, we all have a little Batman in us from childhood, you know?
Sure.
A little James Bond here and there.
Not all of us can act on it.
What then?
Not all of us can act on it, unfortunately, but we sure admire you for doing it.
Thank you. So he turns it into like this sequestered crack den, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Again, thanks, Len. Way to go, man. Way to go.
Brother. Yeah, hey, that sucks.
Speaking of hanger-oners and people that take advantage, you mentioned Dr. Sam earlier. Major falling out with him? Because I saw him on Bill Maher, and it just seemed, well kind of like Lenny, that it's all about him.
Yeah, and like, I guess so much for HIPAA or patient-doctor confidentiality. What the hell, right?
Wow.
I know. And who knows what I was injecting.
Exactly.
Might have been Van Nuys tap water, you know? But you saw, you know, because you saw where the numbers went with him.
Yeah, they shot up.
They shot up fast, man. And he's got wrongful death lawsuits against him. And,
yep.
And then he gets a beat down in Mexico, right?
What do you mean, physically? No.
Yeah, somebody beat his ass in the streets. And he blamed me.
What?
Oh, God.
I'm like dude, you planned it?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
I'm like, Dr. Sam, if I was going to give you a beatdown, buddy, you wouldn't be able to call anybody afterwards. Wait a minute. Was that out loud? No, but it's like, it was so silly. It was like, really? So if there's one kernel of truth, I mean, why didn't the cop show up and interview me, you know?
Yeah.
Where were you on the night of, right?
Yeah, the night of, yeah.
So no, silly. Preposterous.
Thank you.
Hey, so what?
They're out there, man. They're out there, you know?
Charlie, what's a day in the life for Charlie Sheen like these days? You know, we know you're not working a ton, but, you know, you seem like a guy that enjoys his life. You know,
I do.
Certainly we would all aspire to have that sort of lifestyle. But what is a day in the life of Charlie Sheen or a week in the life of Charlie Sheen like right now?
It's actually pretty consistent. Eating really well, trying to smoke less, drinking a lot less, working out every morning except Sundays, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a lot of time in Malibu at my parents' house, which has been lovely.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of time with the kids. There's no girlfriend. There's no girls. It's just, I don't know. It's just, you know, just one of those times. They're not the priority right now. You know,
you're not taking those handfuls of testosterone anymore. It doesn't sound like.
Not even close. Not even close. Wow.
No girls?
Yeah, because I always wonder, how does this guy, you know, who's close to my age, how does he handle having two women? I mean, it just seemed like, and now the testosterone swagger kind of explains it all, but.
There you go. Well, there you go.
Charlie, you did have a lot of practice, though, for a while.
Oh, hell yeah. No, it was a great run, and I there's three rules at my house, right? You park your judgment at the door, right?
Yeah.
Nobody dies. And there's no pain in the bedroom. Those are pretty cool. Those are fair,
good
right?
Rules,
yeah, definitely.
No judgment, no death, and no pain. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely, I like it.
You know.
So your life sounds pretty normal. I mean, you sound like a normal middle-aged guy.
Thank you. No, I'm actually having a ball. I'm having a ball, and there's actually some work stuff that's starting to cook a little bit. So things good. Are gonna get a lot busier. I used to get a job and then like scramble to get in shape, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it the correct way this time.
That's just awesome.
Started getting in shape and then something fell out of the sky, you know.
Right.
People like, oh, you got to sell your house. You got to do this. You got to. I'm like, don't worry, man. Something always falls out of the sky. You know, you do good things and good things happen, and that's how it rolls out, you know.
Right. Well, Charlie, listen, man, I got to tell you, I don't want to overstay our welcome, which we probably already have.
Yeah.
But,
no, but this has been awesome. Thank you for the opportunity to apologize to your lovely city, to explain a couple things that maybe people should know about, shameless plug, to promote a couple things that I've done or I'm doing. And feel free to play this again, or is this live now or it's not? No?
No, it'll be put up and posted as soon as we get off.
Oh, that'd be great, and I'll probably be getting some calls. But you know what's really cool? None of us are hammered on this call, and
no?
You guys are so respectful about going into areas and things and basically test, sensing the temperature of what I'm going to talk about, and I didn't get pressured, I didn't get put on the spot. It was I'll talk to you cats anytime, any place. Seriously.
Hey, we would like to talk to you again for sure, Charlie.
When?
Anytime, man. Next week.
Should we give it a month? Because things are so sedate right now that
a month
maybe
sounds,
in a month something will happen, you know?
A month sounds perfect.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
If you want to come to a Tigers game, let me know. We got some great seats.
Oh, man, that'd be amazing. And wow, your boys are making a move, aren't they?
Yeah. Saltamacchia with a big blast last night.
Wow. How about his name barely fits on his jersey?
I know. It's great.
I know.
Awesome.
Well, I just shortened it. It's Saltalamacchia. I said Saltamacchia.
Mm. Yeah, Jesus. Man.
I know. It's funny. I've never seen a jersey with a name that goes up the side, over the back, and then down the other side.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I would have just gone with Salt.
Salty.
Yeah, Salty.
Salty. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. My Reds were eliminated on Mother's Day, I think.
Yeah.
I know, what a bummer.
I know.
Yeah, they just decimated that team. They unloaded all those guys.
Yeah, I know.
Sucks.
But there is some really, really good young talent there that could really blossom. And we just need a couple arms, man, like everybody else. Just need a couple arms.
Yeah, it's complicated being a medium or small market fan. I mean, fan of a small or medium market team because,
yeah,
you know, you got to once the payroll gets up there, you know there's going to be change.
Exactly.
But yeah, they'll be back.
Yeah, let's hope. You know, there's too much history and too much goodwill and, you know, and I'm a fan, so come on, guys. Help a brother out.
Hey, Charlie, it's been a blast.
Likewise. This is terrific. Let's do this more often.
You bet. You're on.
Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, brother.
We'll talk soon.
See you, Charlie.
All right, be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He should try mushrooms after this experience.
Yeah.
To help himself.
That's right. Those cancer patients taking mushrooms. We learned that just yesterday. There was a story about that. And it helps them for years.
I don't understand that. Yeah.
I don't either. I thought it was like an 8-hour thing.
No, it's brain chemistry. It resets your brain chemistry.
I didn't feel that
good for eight hours. Yeah.
Well, I see. I've never had mushrooms successfully.
Successful?
What?
Successfully.
What happened?
You know, I tried them and it didn't kind of like kick in, and I know
really?
It's supposed to.
And take so enough?
Just kind of sitting there going,
I didn't have enough.
Something to, yeah. And so when I then took more, it had been a really long time. I was really just really tired, and it didn't work. It never really worked.
I'm sure he had the most boring trip in
I wanted to be,
hallucinogenic history.
I got to go to Amsterdam.
I know, you're right.
Yeah. Last time I was in Amsterdam.
Yeah,
yeah, that was part of it too. But
yeah, I don't know.
I think
they
were good mushrooms.
I'm not sure I could help myself from laughing if I'm doing mushrooms. I don't think you're stopping me.
Yeah, but Joe's right. You got to be in the right situation. Yeah, I mean, you're nice.
Well, yeah, true. It helps. Well, I'll tell you, this is why I say this, because we were not in the greatest situation. We were in Amsterdam. This is like 5 years ago. Matt and I were there, and there was a whole group of people, actually. Rich was there. Kevin.
This is when you saw the SS Cockring, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Remember that, Trudy?
Yes.
Well, no, that was a different trip. That was a different trip.
Oh, yeah. Did you go looking for the SS Cockring? We saw it the last time.
No, we didn't, because we weren't there the same. We just happened to arrive right as the Gay Pride Parade was coming through Amsterdam, if you can believe that. It was like 20 minutes from starting time when we landed.
Man, oh, my God.
That's awesome. Gay Pride Parades are great.
Yeah, got some amazing pictures. Yeah. SS Cockring. I forgot about that. So anyway, it was like a Tuesday night in Amsterdam, and everybody's going crazy. We're near the red light district. People are either buying whores or they're in the bars, and so they have those stores that have a mushroom. It's like, you know, just a sign with a shroom on it. It's like,
wow.
Wait, you can really just go in there and buy, and it's legal? It's like, yeah, it's legal. You can buy mushrooms here. It's not, you don't have to worry about getting busted. It's legal. So we go in, we have a long conversation with the guy selling them, like, you know, what different kinds, and he gave us, I think it was vitamin C, which is supposed to be the antidote.
Oh. If you're, I remember you saying that before, yeah.
Yeah, if you're tripping too hard,
yeah,
you take the vitamin C and it's supposed to bring you down.
No way.
It really?
It's so fake.
Didn't appear to be a problem.
He just needed it.
Didn't need the antidote.
Yeah, that was his way of pushing some vitamin C that week.
Yeah, I don't think it was very expensive, but we had to pay something for it. So, you know, ate the mushrooms, went outside, we're in an outdoor bar, and all of a sudden, whammo! I forgot what that started the laughing, but it was nothing of any significance. And the next thing you know, Matt and I were sitting on, they were like brownstones. They weren't like New York brownstones. They were like, you know, much less expensive brownstones. We're just sitting on a stoop. People were walking by in little groups of like 3 or 4 people, as they do, and out in the night in Amsterdam. And we would try so hard not to laugh, so hard that we were crying at every group that walked by. Every time it was like, oh, I got more people. Oh, God. And sure enough, as soon as they got close to us, we'd both start laughing out loud and like tears streaming down our face. And they'd look at us like, what the fuck? What's wrong with them? They probably knew. And then they'd be, oh, my God, more people. Oh, God, I'm not going to laugh this time. I swear to God. You got to hold it, too. Okay. And then sure enough, we'd bust out. Bust out laughing. I don't even know why. I don't know what we were laughing about.
Wasn't there something about Anne Frank's house on that
trip? That was the previous trip.
That was the SS Cockring trip.
Yeah.
A momentous trip.
We were in a, and we're following the laws. They were legal.
Yeah.
We were following the local laws by eating mushrooms. And we realized, we saw this real somber group of people. We're like, yeah, what's the matter with them? Why aren't they having this much fun? I guess they're not doing mushrooms. We're like, it was the line to get to the Anne Frank house. We're doing mushrooms. Tears are streaming down our face in front of the Anne Frank house. Oh, my God.
I'm going to change history.
Oh, I know. It wasn't our fault.
Fuck you. We're back here partying, putting headbands on, doing drugs, listening to the goddamn Beatle album.
Is this still like that in Amsterdam? It's been years since I've
been
there.
Still like that in terms of the...
Can you still buy mushrooms?
Yeah. I mean, those stuff's 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So why don't they sell them? Why don't they sell them now? If they help people with depression, not just cancer patients.
I mean,
people
not
with
only
PTSD.
That, but it is a plant, and maybe it would stop people from doing flaca.
Yeah.
Or other synthetic hallucinogens.
Right. And you want to eat somebody's face when you're doing flaca or bath salts, yeah. And you wouldn't if you were on mushrooms.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of anyone. It's funny that Trudy said nothing happened. I can't think of anyone who didn't enjoy mushrooms. Do you know anyone who, oh, God, it was terrible. Have you ever heard of anyone having a bad time on mushrooms?
Not at all.
Joey actually triangulated on that.
Yeah, of course.
A bad time? Like, what happened?
People just, they think real paranoid. Don't like the feeling. They go to bed. I've seen people lock themselves in rooms. Like, they just have a bad trip. Like, if you're not in the
they don't have the brain chemistry.
They need some vitamin C.
They need help. They need psychiatric help, obviously. They're not together enough to enjoy mushrooms, unfortunately.
I'm going to have to try again. It was a bad scene.
No,
he was absolutely right. Because
I take it back. I've seen bad mushroom. I have. It's pretty rare, though.
Yeah. Well, same thing happened with Elliot. Just one time. Really, really young.
And what happened?
I hallucinated my grandmother, and she just died. And
you hallucinated your grandmother?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
And then I kept going to the bathroom, looking in the mirror, and I had red blotches everywhere. And I'd be like, what's going on? Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah. No, but it was a deal where.
Blotter?
I think. Or no, microdot.
Microdot. Yeah. That's same difference, probably.
So I feel bad because I've not had the situation that I really.
Well, it sounds like you were having it. It just wasn't the right environment.
Yeah, I had the brain chemistry though. Yeah. That's what that supposedly does, where it resets your serotonin. That's why those people are happy for years.
Well, and then everybody should just take it, right?
Yeah.
There was a list today of the traffic parking lickets scoff laws.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, and I think we should. Joey came with some phone numbers. It's always fun to call the scoff laws and remind them you've got to pay your parking ticket bills or try to find out, you know, what's going on? Why are you always getting all these parking tickets? Because these people got anywhere from 34 parking tickets to 70 parking tickets.
Oh, wow.
And didn't pay any of them. Joe, you want to point out maybe which one we should call first?
Have you seen the nerdlinger that goes to Stanford that has made an artificial intelligence lawyer to fight parking tickets?
No.
It's a computer program. He had a bunch of parking tickets, and he just thinks it's BS that you pay somewhere to park, and then you overstay the meter, and then next thing you know, you have a $70 bill because he's in Palo Alto.
Oh, yeah.
So he went through. He was so mad, he went through and looked up every parking law and loophole that he could find and created this algorithm, and you go online, and you ask the computer asks you questions, and it has like a 60% success rate of getting out of parking tickets.
Wow, that's cool. If only to be brilliant, you could do that.
One of the ways he said he got out of a ticket was he actually measured the spot, and the spot was too small, so they threw out the parking ticket.
Oh, a car wouldn't fit in it?
No, it fit, but it was just a few inches smaller than what
regulation's
supposed to be.
Why am I?
And of course, now everybody wants to hire this guy, and he won't sell his company.
These tickets, by the way, they've raised the price of all the tickets in Detroit, so that's one thing people are a little extra pissed about. And they lay boots on those cars all the time.
Do they really?
Yeah. I'm surprised these people can get this many tickets without getting a boot, but maybe they stopped.
Didn't they used to have a TV show, Detroit?
Yeah, Ponytail.
Yeah, they did. Ponytail used to call it.
Parking Lot Wars.
Oh, right.
Ponytail rule. There you go, Trudy.
We call him Dante?
Nasty.
Yeah, Dante was the leading the league in tickets. Dante had 67 tickets.
Wow.
He owes $6,500.
Whoa. License and registration, please.
Dante T. Williams.
Hello.
Dante.
Hello?
Oh, is Dante there?
Who?
Dante.
You got the wrong number.
Is this the Williams residence? Oh, okay, lady. Right.
Bye-bye.
She never said goodbye.
I believe her. Yeah, we should call her back. We have too many other people to call.
That's how Dante gets out of all his traffic tickets. She answers and says he doesn't live there.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
We're tracking it down.
There could be people who've been hipped to this because Channel 7 was running around knocking on doors.
God, it'd be so hard to track people down.
I know.
In the city of Detroit.
They were finding him, though. You want to try Zana Onish Chuck? Oh, who are you calling?
On her back.
Oh, Dante?
Oh, boy. Oh, yikes.
License and registration, please.
Oh, boy.
Just watching the news, man.
She's probably arguing with Dante to answer the phone right now. Sick of covering for him.
Hello?
Yeah, Dante.
Told you.
No, this is not Dante.
Oh, it's not? Are you sure? Because I think, you got 67 tickets.
Who dis?
Parking tickets. We're just trying to help
out. Hello?
Who dis? New phone.
Yeah, we were just disconnected previously. I was trying to help.
Bye-bye.
He didn't say goodbye either.
Hello.
He didn't by rights. We should call him back. We have too many people, too many scofflaws to take care of.
That was so Dante. He's not fooling me.
Ayanna Mosley from Oak Park. She's in Oak Park and she has all these tickets downtown. What the hell is she doing?
She's right down the street.
Yeah.
Let's just send Joe to her house.
I'd be worried about...
Man on the street.
From Oak Park getting a bunch of tickets downtown, I would just figure they would really bust you at some point.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello?
Ayanna.
Hello?
Ayanna? Ayanna.
Yes?
Yeah, how you doing? It's Drew, Mark, and Trudy. We're calling from our internet broadcast, and we want to let you know we have one of the most parking tickets unpaid in the city of Detroit, and you need to pay your bill. It's $3,668. Did you know that?
Okay. Yeah, I know that.
Were you having trouble keeping up with the bills?
Yep.
Yeah. It's a bitch, isn't it?
Sure is.
Wow. Well, you sound really bummed out. I'm sorry I had to give you the news, but we've been assigned this project to let people know.
We don't like it either.
What are you doing? You're just calling to tell me this? I know this.
Oh, we want to make sure you knew it. Is there anything we can do to help?
What do you mean?
Well, the balance apparently has stayed the same for quite a while. It appears that nobody's been paying these tickets at all. So I don't know if we just needed to maybe give you a call every month to remind you that you still owe money. I don't know. We could do that. Would that help?
No.
No.
I suppose you want me to pay for
it. Ayanna, where is it that you park that you get the tickets? Do you know offhand? Was there something? Was there confusion about whether it was illegal to park there?
No, I lived on campus, and I parked in front of my dorm every day.
Did you ever think of putting the old parking tickets in the window every time you parked?
Sorry?
Like, you put the old ticket in your window every time you parked, so they think that they already gave you a ticket?
Does that work?
Did you ever try that?
It's
a good move. You did do that?
Did.
It worked a couple times.
Told you. See? That's a brilliant move.
Nice going, Ayanna. I'm glad to hear that.
Lady.
We're going to have to pass that along to some of the other scofflaws.
And then when you came out to a new ticket, did you just laugh like, I'm never paying this, and just chuck it into the glove box? Or did you rip it up and throw it up in the air like confetti?
Is this real? What is this call about? This is so funny.
This is real.
Tickets.
No, it's our internet show, actually, and we were calling the number one league leaders in unpaid parking tickets in the city of Detroit, and you are... You were in the top 10, Ayanna.
Come on, Ayanna. You can get to number one. Let's go. Go park that car.
Are you crazy? This is so funny.
Yeah, you got to either pay this thing off or get more tickets and reach the top.
Yeah, number one.
You're about, let's see. Well, you have 47 tickets. You need 23 tickets to be the top person, the most unpaid parking tickets.
You can do it.
Hell no.
You can do it.
Would that be how long did it take to get 47 tickets?
Just one school semester.
Wow. What'd you say? One school semester.
One semester?
Were you going to Wayne State?
Yeah.
Oh. Are you still going?
No, I'll go to Oakland University now.
Oh, what are you taking?
HR.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Now, how many parking tickets have you gotten up at Oakland U?
None. I actually haven't got a parking ticket yet.
Hey, I have an idea. Maybe you should say that this is an old bill left over from Wayne State. You take it to your parents and just say, I don't know, we apparently forgot to pay this, so can you help me out?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they know about these tickets.
Oh, they do?
Oh, no.
Is the car in your parents' name?
No, mine.
Oh, it is. But how do they know?
Because I told them. My license is suspended, so they know.
Oh, boy, this has been kind of an issue.
How do you get
what is this again?
I'm going to pay you, but I shouldn't.
Who are you?
It's Drew, Mark, and Trudy. It's our internet radio program.
Drew, Mark, and Trudy?
Yep.
Yeah.
Close enough. Am I on the radio right now?
Kind of.
You're on the internet. Actually, not on the radio. It's an internet radio show. It's a podcast.
No one listens. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. So people are laughing. This is a joke, right?
Hey,
well, no, it's not a joke. We're informing people on the list that that they're behind in their parking needs. We're trying to help.
It was assigned to us.
And y'all cracking jokes and y'all laughing with everybody too.
It was assigned to us.
Yeah, yes, we are. They said if you sometimes if you're light, if there's a little bit of a joking air about it, it helps people.
I mean, admit this phone call is making you feel a little bit better about the parking tickets, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
You're not alone.
Well, good. Yeah, you're not. You could be. Let's see, who is it? Dante Williams, who owes $6,500. He's got 67 tickets. That's the guy you're trying to catch if you want to be number one.
I'm not trying to be number one in prices. <I'm> sorry.
Okay, well, Ayanna, I want to wish you the best of luck, and thanks for being a good sport, at least.
No problem, you guys. Have an awesome show.
Okay, good luck in Oakland. Wow, well, have an awesome show. How cool.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. I so knew that trick was going to work. If you put an old parking ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because maybe a little sympathy, or they forget they already gave one to you.
If I had a bunch of parking tickets, there's no way I would tell my parents if the car wasn't in their name. There's no way.